postponing this topic for a long time because it's so complicated. But we'll give it a shot and we'll try to, you know, try to do it in maybe in two sessions, and then we'll hopefully get a grasp of it. And we're going to focus on learning on the Rambam Perek Dalet Milchus Shemitah, which I have photocopied for you, at least the first four halachas. And this is the topic of Sfichim. And this sort of throws us off a little bit in everything we've been doing. We've been speaking about the Kedushas Peres of Shvius. We spoke about the fact that each fruit should be eaten if it's Roi L'Achila Sadav, it should be eaten by human consumption, so forth and so on, and all the laws about Kedushas Shvius. And we even went as far as to say that there might be a mitzvah of eating Peres Shvius. So now we have Svichin, which sort of throws us off base. So let's get an overview before we start the Rambam. This is a short introduction from this little book that I've showed you many times, Dinei Shviyit. And first he tells us about the etymology of the word Sfiach or Sfichin, based on a pasuk in Tanakh. And Sfiach means Nispach. Nispach means when you have something large and there's something attached to it, it's sort of like an extension, but it's not the original. You know, like let's say for example you have a big room and then you put a porch, or you have an extension of that room, a little porch, that would be Safiach or Sfacheni, Nispach. Nispach next, it's a tofet. It's not the equal.
All the little piece that's attached, you put out to hook with the...
Right, correct. A Safiach, a Nispach, or Sapach.
Sapach.
So now, what is this whole kit and caboodle? I mean, we'll see about it. It's Yerokos, and it's Kitnios, and it's Tvua, it's grains. What is it connected to? You know, it's not the Ikar, but it's connected to. And believe it or not, it's actually connected to Shishis. It's almost like a Nispach to Shishis. And what I mean to say is that the planting or the growth took place in the sixth year. So the seeds were sown already in the sixth year, but it grew in the seventh year. Again, Rabosa, you're going to have to be very patient with me because we're going to have to go through so many different cases and scenarios until we really get a picture of what it's like. Klomar, Tvua ha'olav etzomachas me'atzma min ha'gargirim shenashru b'shas ha'katzir b'shana sh'avra. Meaning you were busy on the sixth year harvesting, and that's exactly what you do. You're a farmer, and that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're allowed to do. But some of the seeds were left in the field in the sixth year, and they grew in the seventh year. So the basic growth took place in the seventh year. And we would say that certainly in the case of Yerokos, in the case of vegetables, they have Kedusha Shviyas. And in fact, they do have Kedusha Shviyas. And according to Torah law, you're allowed to eat them. It might even be a mitzvah to eat them. Min HaTorah gidulim elu mutarim b'achilu. Everything that's produced in the seventh year, as long as you didn't violate any of the Yisurim of Shviyas, and certainly here you didn't because the planting took place in Shishas, is mutar b'achilu, even a mitzvah t'achilu. Ella, Sharo, Chachamim, etc., etc., and they said that these are awesome. In other words, that which the Torah tells you to eat, and that which the Torah tells you get a mitzvah if you eat, the Chachamim say you're not allowed to eat. It's a very paradoxical concept. Okay, let's read the lines that I skipped. He says the following. Ro Chachamim, what did the Chachamim realize? What were they afraid of? Why did they institute an Isur where the Torah said it's mutar? Shenisrabu Ovrei Avera, Shvius was a very delicate situation. It wasn't observed the way it should be. And Zoru B'Seser Stoseim B'Shana HaShvius. What they did was clandestinely, without openly doing so, they violated the law of Shvius. They actually planted in Shvius. The Amru, and what they said was, we didn't plant in Shvius. What you're seeing in the fields, the growth, is me'aleim tzomchu gidulim elu. These grew not as a result of our violation of Shvius. We didn't plant it during the seventh year, but rather there were seeds that grew as a result of being seeded in the sixth year, because again there was a surplus of seeds that weren't cut down with the harvest at the end of the sixth year. Let's say in the summer of the sixth year, and they took root in the seventh year, but there was no violation of Shvi'ah. So they basically they were violating Shvi'ah, but hiding behind it. They made it seem like they did nothing wrong, and that indeed the seeding took place in the sixth year, but really, in truth, they were violating the laws of Shvi'ah. So because of these Ovrei Avera, Chazal wanted to fight against them, and they wanted to prevent people from doing such a thing. They said to them, you know what? We're going to prohibit even that which grew as a result of the seeding in the sixth year. So what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me, well, this, you know, the planting took place in the sixth year. Well, it's us anyway. So you're not going to gain anything. That's by claiming that it was, you know, by hiding behind this claim that it was a result of seeding that took place in the sixth year, you're not going to gain anything, because anyway it's going to be us. Again, the details we're going to see as we go along, but now we're trying to get just a basic understanding of the fact that the Issur Sfichin is only Dirabbanan, and it's a Gzeira Mishum Ovrei Avera. What's included in this Issur Sfichin that the Rabbanan instituted? Kol Pri Adama, everything that grows from the ground, to the exclusion of something that grows from the trees. So fruits that grow on the trees are not included in Issur Sfichin, and we'll see this explicitly later on down the line. Shetotzi Aretz Me'atzma B'Shana Shvi'is. Again, we don't need a gzera of Sfichin for something that grew in the seventh year because somebody violated the Issur of Shvi'is. He was not upholding the laws of Shvi'is and he planted against the law in the seventh year. That for sure is also. That's also Midaraisa even before the Rabbanan made the Gzera. The Chiddush of the Gzera, the Rabbanan, is to prohibit that which grew beheter. It has Kedusha Shvi'is and there was no violation of the laws of Shvi'is. So even though it's Totsi Haaretz Me'atzma, you didn't actively plant during the seventh year. Nevertheless, since it grew in the seventh year, it is Asur Midin Sfichin. And that's an Issur D'Rabbanan. The Ein Tzarech Lomar, it goes without saying, Shepri Adam Shenizra B'Shvi'as B'Issur, if he violated Issur Shvi'as and he planted during the seventh year, as if it was the sixth year, he treated the seventh year like any other year, then that's Asur even before the Gzeir L'Chacham. The Chacham are not going to be Matir, that which the Torah prohibited. But they expanded the Issur, not only where there was no violation, and we know for a fact that it grew because of seeds that fell into the ground in Shisha. So he didn't violate it. Nevertheless, the Rabbanan prohibited. Aval Gidulim, however, what's excluded from this? And a lot of what we're going to study today is to try to get an answer to the following question: what is not included in Issur Sfichin? And that's where it gets extremely complicated. But basically, the overriding rule is what you're going to see here in the second paragraph. Gidulim shelo chashashu chachamim sha'adam yizra osam b'shviz. If, so to speak, there's no vested interest in a person's planting them during the seventh year, then the Rabbanan didn't aser those minim as far as Sfichin is concerned. They only asked Sfichin when they thought that there was a temptation to violate Shvi'as by planting during the seventh year, and then, as we said before, to give this false excuse and hide behind the fact that it was really planted on Erev Shvi'as. But there are certain things where there's no real temptation to violate Shvi'as. Kigon, Pri Ha'ilon. There's no chashash that someone is going to plant his trees during Shvi'as. Obviously, that would be a violation of the Torah law of Shvi'as. But you know what? The fruits are growing annually from the same trees, and they're going to continue growing, you know, ad infinitum. So there's no real chashash that a person is going to plant a tree during Shvi'as. That would not be a good thing to do, and there's no temptation for him to do it. Let things go, because the trees are producing annually. You'll get your produce. There's no reason for you to be tempted to violate these Shvi'as. Kmo Chaim, let's take the case of Sados. There's a whole list of four different classifications of Sados where there's no chashash sheyizra behem ha'adam. Okay, we're going to get into detail about what these four categories of sodos are. The first one is what's called a stay boor. Stay boor is a soda which is left fallow. You don't plant it because you're trying to to regain or to reproduce those nutrients in the ground that add and enhance the produce and the productivity of the ground, both in terms of kamos and eikos, those qualitatively and quantitatively. So what they used to do is they used to leave the land fallow for a year. And they used to turn over the ground so that whatever nutrients, whatever the rainwater would seep in, and the ground would sort of come back to itself. It would replenish itself. It's almost like, you know, when a person takes a little vacation, he goes on holiday because he's been working so hard and he needs to regain his kochos. That's called stay boor. You know, just on the side, if you're ever interested in Cheskes Habatim, you know, the third parak in Bavas is one of the most profound parakim. It's learned in the yeshivas. So there's a whole issue about a person who wants to establish chazaka, but he needs 3 years consecutively. In the middle year, he wants to leave it fallow, you know, stay boor. Can that year still be incorporated into the 3 years of chazaka? So that's one category. There are other categories. For example, there's a stay kerem. When you have a vineyard, then there's no chashash that he's going to violate the Iser Kilayim and plant seeds in the vineyard. Ain olam chafetz yibo gidule yizrom shalulim lesar karmo biglal kilaya kerem. And we're going to see that there are other categories of sados where we don't assume that he'll be tempted to plant during the Shvius year. Those are excluded from the Iser Svichim.
Meaning, if you saw something
growing and
you remove it to consume it, it's also
a mitzvah
because you're stopping
the client
from happening, and it's okay. There's no violation.
No, in other words, he's not going to be tempted to actively violate Shvius by planting. If something grows there, it's growing on its own, and if it's not close enough to the kerem, you know, it's, let's say there's Dalet Amos different stream, so it's not also Mishum Kelayim, and not only that, it's not also Mishum Sfikim as well. We have no chashash that he actually planted it biyadav. So I just on the side, I want to comment that the normal principle of lo plug chachamim does not kick in the case of Sfikim, which is good for us because it allows us to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Shvius with those kinds of yirokos and then tefua and kidneys that weren't included in the Iser Svichot. So that's the good news. The bad news for us is, so to speak, I'm just joking, that it makes life very complicated just on an intellectual level to study the laws of Svichot and figure out what is included in Svichot and what is not. And we go, you know, in this overview here in Dinei Shvius, we're only getting the tip of the iceberg. We'll see more detail in the Rambam. Let's just mention that there are other categories that are not included in the Iser Svichin. One of them is Stei Nachri. Again, we'll have a long discussion about this. And this has nothing to do with the machlokes that we've been discussing about with regard to Kedushas Perishvias, the machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Mavid, which is Yerushalayim versus Bnei Brak, about whether there's Kedushas Shvias in a Stei Nachri. We want to know, even according to the Mandi Omar, who's Machmir and assumes that Stei Nachri has the same status as Stei Yehudi as far as Kedusha Shvius is concerned. Nevertheless, he agrees that the Iser Svichin doesn't apply. So therefore, when you have peros that have been grown in a non-Jewish field, which, let's say, according to the Chazon Ish, have Kedusha Shvius, and we have to treat them very carefully and very meticulously with Kedusha Shvius, nevertheless, we should know that there's no Iser Svichin. And this is a major halacha. You know, there's so much produce out there in the market, especially for religious Jews, on the seventh year that come from non-Jewish sources. And we have to understand that we have to treat those fruits and that produce with Kedusha Shvius because there's no Iser Svichin. So instead of throwing them out, on the contrary, we're going to eat them with all the laws and regulations that govern Shvius. Oh, I didn't realize that he points this out. I thought it was my fish. Okay, I'm sorry. I should have read the next line. Afilu la poskim, even according to those, that's the Chazon Ish, sheyesh begidu of Kedusha Shvius, and therefore we equate the Stei Nachri with the Stei Yehudi. Sharei Nachri ena mitzuma shel olava b'sadeyu. What are you going to tell us? We're afraid that maybe he violated the laws of Shvius and he planted during the seventh year? That's ridiculous. Nachri has no mitzvah of Shvius. Let him plant as much as he wants. And therefore they didn't include a Stei Nachri in the Iser Svichin. So what is included in the Iser Svichin? Now we're moving on to the left side of your page. Bichlal, included under the Iser Svichin, is kol pri hadama. anything that grows from the ground, as opposed to that which grows from the trees. Bein Michael Odame Michael Bema. Included in the Isa Svikin is even food that's only consumed by animals. Hatzomeh Bishnas Hashmita, the main prerequisite or condition that has to be fulfilled in order to engender an Isa Svikin is that it grows during the Shemitah year. We're going to have to discuss cases where it grew partially during Shishas and partially during Shviz, you know, half and half. But if it grew during the seventh year, we can say in a general sense, and it grew in a Jewish-owned field in Eretz Yisrael, then it's Aser Midin Sfich. Now he throws in here another discussion which will really derail us at this point, and that is the case of a Sada that's owned by a non-Jew, but the workers in the Sada who produce the fruits in that field are Jews. Because again, a Jew is not allowed on Shviz to work in a field, even if he's working for the sake of a guy. So the Isa Svichin, which was Xera because he might be working in Shviz, kicks in, even if the field is owned by a guy, because the Jew is the one who's involved in the Avodas HaSoda. So Blin Eder will try to... That's not going to be for today, that'll be for next week.
Is that across the board, like the difference between B'nai B'rach and Jerusalem?
Yeah, I don't think there's any difference here between B'nai B'rach and Jerusalem. Now, what about a stay hefker? Well, once again, all the surim of planting and harvesting during Shviyas kick in. They apply even in a stay hefker, even if it's ownerless. And therefore, yesh isur svichin. There's no reason to exclude hefker from the isur svichin. He says the following. What happens if we have this case that I mentioned before where it grows partially during Shishas and partially during Shviz? Again, these are very complicated halachos. He's just going to give you, as I said, the overview. He says the following. Tvua v'kitnius nesar mishum svichin imigiu l'shlish migodlam b'shnas hashmita. Now, let's say, for example, you have vegetables that most of their growth takes place, let's say, for example, in the eighth year. But nevertheless, within the seventh year, they already reached shlish gidulam, which is enough for them to be edible b'shas hadchak. And therefore, they're included under the isur svichin. So again, the zriah took place in the sixth year. The rest of the gidul may have taken place in the eighth year. It doesn't matter. As long as one third, which is a significant enough of amount, grew during Shemitah, the seventh year, then that's enough to engender the Isa Svichin, except according to the Chazon Ish. Amal b'yirakos, with regard to vegetables, hichriya Chazon Ish kedas harash, this is Rash Mishans, one of the Bali Atosas, shirak im hischilu litzmoach b'shviz, yesh b'am Isa Svichin. This is a gewaldige kula of the Chazon Ish. Again, I say as a kula, it's also a chumrah, because it means we have to treat them with Kedusha Shviz. But at least we're allowed to eat them, and they're not us with our speaker. Why? Because the process of growth took place before the seventh year. In other words, even if there was a small amount, a minimal amount of growth of this yerek, of this vegetable, during the sixth year, And as far as the laws of Kedusha Shviyas, it's Kadosh for Kedusha Shviyas. But as far as the law of Isur Svichin is concerned, it's not prohibited under the law of Svichin. This was the kula of the Chazon Ish. Let's understand the kula of the Chazon Ish. Number one, we hold that Shviyas Bizmanis is the Rabbanan. Number two, Svichin itself is the Rabbanan. So in this situation of a double Rabbanan, he, the Chazon Ish, is willing to rely on the Rash Mishans in order to engender the mitzvah of Shviz, Doraisa, and protect it from the Isa Svichin, and allow us to assume that if the Gidul, the growth of the Yerek, took place at least in some minimal, again, we don't know what that minimum is, that's going to be our discussion, but some minimal shear of Gidul, much less than Shlish, took place in Shishas, we can already remove it from the Isa Svichin, even though it has Kedusha Shviz. So the beginning of the growth of these yereks took place in the sixth year. Af al pi sheyesh bahem kedusha shviyas, because it grew to a shlish during shviyas, ein bahem isa svichen. And even though the Chazanish made this psak, it wasn't widely accepted. Yesh cholkim v'sofim shkol aniklat ayerek b'shnas shviyas. In other words, it has kedusha shviyas in it. It grew during shviyas. It was actually harvested during shviyas. Yesh bo bishum isus svichen.
That's okay. The hokey.
Yeah, that's the hokey.
They're more from than
Chazanish. Again, it's hard to say from here, Aaron, because again, you know, it's really two sides of a coin. You know, you're right in a certain sense. We intuitively assume you're lifting and alleviating the isur svich, and that's got to be a kula. But really, it's a kumra. I'll tell you why it's a kumra, because what the Chazanish is saying is that we're not so eager to impose the isur svichin if we can avoid it, because we'd rather stay with the Doraisa halacha, namely that there's a mitzvah to eat it because of kedusha shviyas. In other words, this is a very unique area in halacha. I've never really confronted this kind of situation where you've got a Doraisa and you've got a Darabana, and they're mutually exclusive. They are diametrically opposed one to the other. For example, if the Chachamim say that I can't eat chicken with milk, correct? Because we pass like Rabbi Yosef Glili that basar of b'chalav is only Darabon. So what do I care? In other words, I'm not losing anything. The Torah is not opposed to this. You know, the Torah says you're allowed to eat it. You want to eat it, eat it. You don't want to eat it, throw it in the garbage. But by throwing it in the garbage, the Torah doesn't see any loss here, except for the financial loss. So that I understand, and I can give you 1,000 examples of that. But here, it's very, very peculiar. What the Rabbanan are doing is they're saying, you know, this whole slew, this whole massive produce during Shviz of Yerukos, of Tvua, that's the 5 species of grains, of Kidneys, of legumes, which the Torah says has Kedusha Shviz in it, which means that you've got to do everything in your power to see to it that it's eaten, li'achlo. Don't throw it in the garbage, don't feed it to your dog, etc., etc. All that is awesome. Let it rot. We're going to see even that you should pluck it out of the ground and destroy it immediately. You know, in such a... It's diametrically opposed to what the Torah is telling you to do. That's a strange kind of Xavier de Rabban. And that's why I think it's a little bit funny to say that the Chazanish here is being makil. Yes, technically he is being makil. He's saying you're allowed to eat it. That's true. That's a kula. But what he's really saying about these Yerukos is that you should observe the mitzvah d'oraisa and treat them with kedusha shviyas. Now, it's by alleviating the d'rabbanan, you're reinstating all the mitzvahs d'oraisa and all the azharos that the Torah tells you to be careful about to uphold the law of kedusha shviyas. Now, what happens with svich? Can I eat them in the 8th year? No. Once it's usur, it's always usur. That's irreversible. And that you'll see on page Tzadi Bet. Svichin shenilku tu b'shviyas. Once the isur is chal, asurim liola. Also, l'shtamish b'gidulei svichin. And you're not allowed to use even gidulei svichin. Okay, that's going to be a whole other subject about gidulei svichin. Those are the growths from svichin. Fine. What about Peros HaIlon? This is on the left side of your page. Number 10. Peros HaIlon, fruits that grow on the tree. Ein bohem mishum isus svich. That's we saw. What about something that I grow in my house, not in the field? You know, it's very rare that I would violate these shviyas in what's called an atzitz. Right? I have my own little vase or container. So there's a distinction. It depends whether it's nakuv or eino nakuv. Kol davar, this is ches, kol davar shegadol b'bayis o bi'atzitz she'eino nakuv. If it's a vase that has no holes in it that can connect to the ground, ein bo isus svichin. You know, it's not commonplace for a person to violate the isus shviyas in the case of an atzitz. At least if it's an atzitz she'eino nakuv. The implication is that an atzitz nakuv, if it nurtures, it grows from the ground, it has the same din as shviyas, and if it's included in the isus svichin. What about peros of a guy? That's the beginning of ches. If it grew in a non-Jewish field, it's not subject to the law of svichin. And as we said before, that applies even according to the Chazanish. What about svichin that grew in the seventh year but weren't plucked and weren't harvested until the eighth year. He says, I have a whole chapter addressed to that issue. Now the complicated thing about Svichin is that Zman Isu Svichin Enish Shavu B'chalat Smochin. Every single growth has its own calendar date in which the Isu Svichin kicks in, meaning up to that calendar date I can assume that it's not included in the Isu Svichin because it didn't grow during Shvius. And we said that for the Isu Svichin to take place you need at least one third of the Gidel to take place during Shvius. So at what point in the winter or in the spring do I go out to my fruit store and I assume that what he's selling is also Mishum Svichin because it grew during Shvius? You know, it would probably be in the winter time or maybe even later. So at the end of this book, but again, this is for three Shviuses ago, you have to see the updated version, he's got this very complicated Luach HaYerakos to tell you at what date does which Yerek become assumed to be Osur Mishum Svichin. You know, you can photocopy that, but it's not really relevant to us today.
It should have come out of the computer.
Yeah, we'll probably get it. I mean, we're going to get it much later on.
Add it to our weekly
email. Now let's learn the Rambam. Now what you have in front of you is the Rambam called the Derech Emunah Mitzvos from Reb Chaim Kanevsky from the Grah. And as you know, he did a major work on the Rambam of Zroim, and it looks very similar to the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah did not write on Sefer Zroim because the Mishnah Berurah is connected to the Shulchan Aruch, and there's no Shulchan Aruch on Zroim, but there is Rambam on Zroim. The Rambam didn't leave any stone unturned anywhere in the Shas. And the fourth perek of Hilchas Shmita V'Yovel is dedicated to the Isur Sfich. It's a very long and complicated perek. What we're going to try to learn together today are the first four halachos of the Rambam in the fourth perek of Shmita V'Yovel to get some sort of a background, a framework for the Isur Sfich. That's our goal for today. We will not learn the Bir Halacha. That's extremely complicated, but we will try to learn the Derech Emunah, which gives you some of the more basic insights into the Rambam. So let's learn the Rambam. Kol shetotzi ha'aretz b'shana shvius. Now, what the Rambam here does is he basically tells you the Doraisa law in Halacha Aleph. But all of this Halacha Aleph is to tell you that everything I'm going to tell you that's mutter is also in Halacha Beis, Midr Rabbanan, because of Svichin. You follow? So you're going to be a little surprised when I tell you that the Rambam in Perek Dalet Halacha Aleph is addressing Svichin, because the Rambam's telling you what you're allowed to eat during Shvius. So it's not Isur Svichin, but the Rambam is doing, I would call it a pedagogic job here. He's going to tell you everything that's mutter min HaTorah, and therefore all these categories become Osur Min Rabbanon in Halacha Beis because of the Gzera of Svichin. So if you just, again, I don't know if you can do this because I stapled it for you, so just if you can, turn to Halacha Beis for a minute, if you can flip over, it'll say Kuf Tes Zayin, and you'll see that in Halacha Beis, the Rambam is going to tell you, Midivrei Sofrim, Shiyu Kol HaSvichin Asurim Bapkim. All right, meaning that everything that we said in Halacha Aleph is the Torah law before he introduces the Divrei Sofrim Isur Svichin. Only in Halacha Beis he tells you that all that we learned in Halacha Aleph is basically irrelevant. I shouldn't say irrelevant, but it's no longer effective or active because the Rabbanan introduced an Isur Svichin. So again, now we're going on the Doraisa level. Kol shetotzi ha'aretz b'shana shvius, all the produce of the ground during the seventh year. Okay, and I'm going to fast forward for a minute to the third line. Hakol mutar la'ochlo min haTorah. But now he's going to give you, within this framework of what you're allowed to eat according to Torah law, all the categories, three different categories that are prohibited midrabanan in Halacha Beis. So he's telling you what are these three categories which in Halacha Beis are asur, but they're mutar in Halacha Aleph because we're dealing with the din d'oraisa. So let's see the three categories. Number one, bein min hazera shenafal ba mikodem shvius. This is the case, the category that we discussed earlier, where during the sixth year there were seeds that hit the ground but haven't yet produced until the seventh year. And that's, of course, Mutar min HaTorah and has Kedusha Shvi'is, but we're going to see that's also is on the Svichim. Number two, Bei min HaIkrim Sheniktzeru Mikodem V'chazru V'asu. Okay, now he has a second category of Svichim, which again are Mutar min HaTorah, and that is that you cut down the produce close to the ground. It's like, if I give a mashal, when you shave, right, you shave close to your skin, but there's still roots underneath the skin, and that's why you're going to have to shave again the next day or whenever you shave, right? So he says the following: the roots are underneath the ground; they're subterranean. So when you cut in the harvest up to the ground, you don't remove the roots. The roots, therefore, are going to grow on their own. So it's not seeds that fell, let's say, as you were seeding, various vegetables or other plants, but rather the roots themselves will now produce, because you never undermine or uproot them, and they will now regenerate themselves. So they were cut down on the sixth year, and therefore that which grows in the seventh year was not, there was no violation of Shvius here. Nobody planted anything. It's the roots that are now generating new fruits in the seventh year. It has Kedusha Shvius, and you're allowed to eat it according to the Torah law. Is Nikro Sviach. Shneim Nikro, so these two categories are called Sviach because they grew as a result of the sixth year. Even though the growth was in the seventh year, then Nisfach to the, they're sort of linked up to secondary to the sixth year. So there was no violation whatsoever. Now he's got a third category, which he doesn't want to call Sfiach, but it's going to be included in Halacha Beis under the Issur Svichim. Bein min ha'asavim v'yirakos she'olu me'aleihem. Now he's saying here that there's certain things that grow during the seventh year automatically. Not because you ever planted them. They just grow wild. And these are asavim and yirakos. These are grasses and vegetables that grow on their own wild during the seventh year. The eilam zera. They're not a result of any planting or any roots that are below the surface of the ground. All these three categories are mutar min haTorah, but they're also midirei sofrim under the gzera of Sfich. And the Rambam says, "Shenemar v'hoisa Shabbos ha'aretz lachem la'achila," that which grows in the seventh year is given to you for eating. Afilu sode shenityatva b'shvius, it was threshed. Is that how you say it? How do you say harisha in English? Threshing.
Flour.
Harisha is flattening.
The chrosh the plow.
To plow, plowing, I'm sorry, I said threshing, I meant plowing. Sorry. Get my English straight here. Plowing. So even though it was plowed during the seventh year, and we're going to see that wasn't okay, but nevertheless, Vitzomcha Perosel, it grew during the seventh year, is Mutarim Bachila. You're allowed to eat them. Okay, this is a tremendous machlokus here between the Rama and the Ravid. The Ravid is going to say that he who plowed during the seventh year is not allowed to enjoy the benefits of that plowing and eat those fruits. Or alternatively, maybe there was a case where the Iser that he violated was only Derabbanan, and therefore the fruits might be mutter because the Rabbanan never instituted an Iser on the fruits. Shenemar, and what does it mean that which grows in the seventh year, and it wasn't planted in the seventh year, you're not allowed to harvest, which you might think means that you can't eat the results of this. He says, he's enjoined from harvesting these fruits massively, in massive volumes, the way he does it the rest of the years. And if he went ahead and he did so, he violated this Isur, he's loke, he gets Malkus, Kevin Shekotzar Kol Asoda Vehemid Kri Vidosh Baboker. Alright, we're going to see what that means. So Rabbo said, at this point, let's go back to the beginning of Halacha Aleph and see what the Derech Hamuna adds. Rabbeinu, he's referring to the Rambam. Rabbeinu Kan Mevayer sheyesh gimel minei svichin. There are three categories of svichin. Number one, the seeds that fell before shvius and grew during shvius. Number two, there were roots in the ground, and although he cuts above the ground or at the ground level, these roots which are under the ground chazru gadlu, and they come and they grow and produce during the seventh year. Ushnei elu, and these two categories are called safiyat. Safiyat means because they come from the sixth year. The od shlish shalonikra safiyat. There's a third category, which technically the Rambam doesn't want to call it safiyat, because it's not a result of what was planted in the sixth year. Hu asavi yirakas shalom me'aleim ve'enlem zera ve'en zenikra safiyat aval dino kisvichim l'chol dov. Even though technically the Rambam refuses to call them safiyat, but nevertheless they are asmishim safiyat. And that we're going to see in Halacha Gimel.
Is there a chashash that somebody planted them if they're not planted?
No, these are something that some that grow wild.
Right. So I mean, I thought it was the rabbanim, so the people who were over there, I mean, to prevent them from getting with their lives or from doing to begin with. But if this is something that never have taken place by a human being, why would it be?
Why is it awesome? Yeah, that's an excellent question. So I think we're going to get to that in Halacha Beis, if I remember correctly. So he says, "V'chol elu mutar b'oraisa midoraisa v'achilo v'asurim midrabbanon kaboshi yisbah." Now, nafal b'kodim shvius, lo niskavin lizoro. He didn't have kavana to plant in such a way that it would grow during shvius, because then we'll get into the surim. You remember Tosefa shvius, when he plants or plants trees, you know, right before shvius, so that they'll grow during shvius. Like nafal imenu b'li kavana. So there was no violation of any Isur here. Ozara b'makom acher faruach hevio lekan. It was brought by the wind, so certainly he's not responsible. Shenikru nikturu mikodem. This is the third category, the second category, excuse me, where he cuts them down before shvius. V'nishar sharsheim ba'aretz. But the shrush and the roots are left in the ground. Hakol mutar li'achlo min hator. Everything is mutar min hator. All right, now here the Derech Amuna goes into an issue of a sugya in Masechet Pesachim. In Masechet Pesachim, the Gemara refers to Rabbi Akiva's Shita, which is also quoted in Torah's Kodim, Parashas Bahar, and I know this from the Sefer Mishmeres HaShviyas, in his presentation of Svichin. There's a Shita of Rabbi Akiva that there is an Isur Torah in Svichin. So I'm just pointing out to you, without getting into detail, because this is way beyond our understanding, that the Reim actually paskins, he's one of the Baal HaTosfos, he actually paskins like Rabbi Akiva against the Rambam, that Svichin Asurim in a Torah. But the poskim don't seem to apparently accept the Shita of the Derech Yireim, of the Dasi Reim, and therefore we're going to assume for our purposes that Svichin is only Mirabana like the Rambam. He adds in number Hey a comment, Mashba Shekol Mashe Godel B'Shvius Mutar B'Achilu Me'at Torah V'im Zorah B'Shvius. But if he violated the Isur Zriah, the Isur is then, the Rambam is going to discuss this later on in Halacha Tesvav. Okay, it's not for us now, but I just want to mention to you what the Rambam says at the beginning of Halacha Tesvav. Avar v'zara v'shvius. So the Rambam is going to say that under certain conditions, which is a whole business here, then it has the Iser like the Iser Svich, because he violated the Iser. But the question is going to be, what about in the next line in the Rambam? Because the Rambam says, "Vafilu sada shenityatva b'shvius is perasev utarim." Why is that any different than the case of zara b'shvius? Correct? Because we just finished saying that anything that grows in shvius is mutar, with the exception of nizra b'shvius b'isur. And now the Rambam says that the fruits of a sada shenityatva. He says, Nityava Pirshe Nechrishav Hetev. And that's a violation of Shvius. And nevertheless, the Peros are Mutarim. Maybe the Rambam is saying that that for some reason Zeria is the beginning of the process of producing the fruit, and therefore if you violated that process, the fruits become also in certain conditions. Whereas Harisha is already a precursor, it's one step removed, it only prepares the ground for Zeria, and even though it's a violation of these Shvias, it's not connected to the Peros. Fine. Let's now fast forward to Halacha Beis, because this is what we want to study. The Divrei Sofrim, says the Rambam, and now we're moving over to Kuf Yud Zayin, Sheyu kol asfichim asurim be'achila. That's an Iser midivrei sofrim. That's an Iser derabbanan. Okay. Now, the question is, what does the Rambam mean when he says kol hasfichim? What is the word kol in the Rambam? Well, I'm always very sensitive to when the Rambam adds the word kol. So this leads us to a whole other sugya, which the Derech HaMunah refers to or alludes to in Tes Vav, the sugya of kruv. There are certain things agriculturally about cabbage and the way they grow that's very similar to the trees on the ground. Meaning, kruv is something that you actually plant every couple of years, and it has a certain durability or resilience to it. And there's going to be a major controversy about the status of Sfichei Kruv, whether they're included on the Sfichin or not included on the Sfichin.
What's that? Why?
Because again, you remember that we said that Peros HaElon, because they're planted only every couple of years, were excluded from the East of Sfichin. So the question is whether Kruv, because of its similarity in the way it's planted to the Elon tree, to the trees, I should say, was excluded from the Issa Sfich. And the Rambam, by adding the word kol, that's what the Derech HaMunah is quoting in the name of various commentaries, is coming to take a stand l'chumra on Sfich Ekruv, that don't think that Sfich Ekruv are excluded from the Issa Sfich.
Rabbi, you say kruv, are you saying carrot or cabbage?
Cabbage. Right, this is the bottom line in the Derech HaMunah. I don't want you to rely on my pronunciation. You know,
it's not a tree,
vegetable.
It's a vegetable, and that's why the Rambam says it's included under the Issa Sfich. In other words, the low plug here is applied to kruv. Logically, kruv should have been conceptually kruv should have been, because the nature of its agricultural process should have been categorized under Ilanos. Mm-hmm. But because it's a vegetable, it's included, according to the Rambam at least, under the Issur Sfich. Then the Derech HaMunah points out, again, I hope you're with me, we're doing Tes Vav. It's a little tricky here because of the fact that I stapled it. So you have to go back to the previous page, although we're up to the Rambam on the next page, but the Derech HaMunah is printed on the previous page. He says, Afilu machal behema, two lines up from the bottom, Yesh Issur Sfich. So it's interesting. We're going to see later on that Svichin are not also ba'anah, they're only also ba'chila. And classically, we assume that feeding an animal comes under the Isser Hanah, not under the Isser Achila. But in this case of Svichin, when you have Svichin that are Ru'uyim lebehema, the Isser Svichin on Svichin behema is Achila, in this case, Achila's behema. And the only exception is going to be Tevin, which we're going to get later on. As I say, it's massively complicated here. You can't even begin to appreciate how complicated this halach, this sugi of Sfichin is. I mean, the Rambam dedicates a whole chapter, which in Derech HaMunah is like 30 pages long. I mean, we're not even beginning to understand what's going on here. But anyway, Tevin was excluded from the Iser of Sfichin, but all other foods that are only fit for animal consumption are included under the Iser Sfichin. It means that you can't feed your animal these Sfichin. Okay, we're going to see what to do with Sfichin. Because again, on a Deraisa level, Sfichin have Kedusha Shvi'it. Fine. Now we're moving over to the Derech Emunah on the next page. And keep in mind that the Rambam says, Loma Gazru Aleim, why did the Chachamim institute this prohibition regarding Kedushas Peros Shvi'is and call them Sfichin? And the answer is, because Mipnei Ovrei Avera. Because of those who were very lax about observing the laws of Shvi'is, and we saw this before in the overview. Shalo Yelech, says the Rambam, we're afraid he shouldn't go v'yizra tfua v'kidnias v'zarune gina b'tot sadeh v'seser. He's going to clandestinely plant all these things, whether it's tfua, kidnias, or zarune gina. And he has a discussion here about zarune gina on the bottom. He says v'ukshi yitzvachim, when they grow, he's going to eat them. Ah, you violated the Issa Shvius. You planted and harvested during Shvius. You're not allowed to eat them. The Yom, he's going to declare Sfichanim. They really came from Shishas. I didn't do it during Shvius. No. I'm a religious God. Zlofichach, therefore, us who call us Sfichan at some time the Shvius. This is the background, says the Rambam, for the Iser Sfichan. Now let's look in Derech Hamunah. He says, in Tesayin, and we've seen this logic before, Kolshkein in Nizra B'Shvius V'Isra. I mean, how much more so if he actually violated the Isra Shvius, then the produce is also in a Torah. That I didn't need a Gzera of Svichin for that. He violated the Isra of Zriya. Then the Derech Hamunah wants to know what happens if I have liquids. You know, normally, when you talk about solids, there's a violation of an Isra Achila. If the Rabbanan instituted an Isra Achila in the case of Sfichin, does that Isra Achila apply even to liquids? So for example, let's take I take a vegetable and I squeeze out liquids from it, which I think in our time is becoming a little bit more popular. He says, Gama mashki mayotzimehen asurin. And not only that, not only are they included in Sfichin, but v'yeshvam kedusha shvius, they also have the sanctity of shvius. Okay, then he has a long discussion about Achiv Malkus. He talks about Tavlinim later on in this presentation, about Kmoim and Pitrios, right? These are things that grow by themselves. And I think at some point here he quotes the Chazon Ish. Just let me see if I'm right. Oh, okay. He does quote the Chazon Ish, but that's not the Chazon Ish I'm looking for. Okay, fine. Halacha Gimel. Halacha Marita, what's the bottom line? Shein ochlin mipero shvius, that Lamaisa, even though the Torah says eat perishvius, we're not allowed to eat perishvius, because perishvius are svichim. Ella peros ha'ilonis. The exception is going to be the fruits on the tree. So the Derech Hamunah embellishes this in number Chaf Aleph. He says, Shalem lo gozu mishum sfichin. There was never a gzera of sfichin on fruit trees. Kevod she'ein derech linoto ela achas l'kamashonim is lo gozu. Since we don't plant trees except once in a very long period of time, so we're not afraid that he's going to plant on Shvius and say, well, he planted on Erev Shvius. What else is excluded from Sfichim? V'ha'asovim she'ein zorin osam rov ha'oda. Okay, these are grasses that are perhaps insignificant. I mean, we have to see exactly. And people don't usually plant them. Most people don't plant them. Says the Derech Hamunah in Chaf Beis, he says, Yesh aleihem kedusha shvius, even though most people don't plant them, but they grew, v'chayv lafkiram, and therefore the mitzvah of being mafkir peres shvius applies, v'asur l'shomram, and you're not allowed to protect or prevent anyone from going in and taking them, and they therefore have the classical din of peres shvius, despite the fact that most people don't plant them. But the only difference is they're not included under the Isur Sfichin. Lo gozra aleihem shetama isur shema yizra. The entire reason for Isur Sfichin is because we don't want people to plant here. It's not derech b'nei odom lezoron. Now, what I wanted to call to your attention here is a paragraph that I found in Mishmeres HaShvius. He has a perek. A 13th chapter of this book is dedicated to Sfichim. He says, Asru Chazal b'achila kol ma shetzamach b'shvius. Afa Olame Elov. And he says, which he's going to get to about Lakita, what do we do back about Lakita of Sfichim, that we're going to see in the Rambam soon. He says, Aval Peros HaIlon Ein Behem Mishum Sfichim Yerokos She'ein Derech Pnei Adam Lizoron Lo Gazru Behem Mishum Sfichim. So there are vegetables that people don't plant. And if you look in the footnote here, he's got a whole list based on the Rambam later on in Perek Dalet. This is a printing mistake. It says Perek Beis, it should be Perek Dalet. And he says, Ein Derech Lizora. But what I wanted to call to your attention is footnote number 8. He says the following. What is the definition of these Yerokos that were excluded from the Isur Sfich? And here he has a machlokas between the Chazon Ish and others. The Chazon Ish says the following. Hainu Yerokos Zolim. Right, I'm going to open up a new stand now on Shviz called Yerek Zol. You know, you have the cheaper coal and the dust zol and that zol. Yerek Zol. She'ein derech b'nei adam lizoran. She'einam chashuvim. And therefore, ein kedai lebali giros letapel b'zriyosam. Elam mi'utam. You know, only those who are going after, you know, whatever they can scrape out. But most people would not even bother with them. They're so cheap.
It's so common.
They're so inexpensive. It's also in Europe. It's all malim mutar mishum sfichim. That's the Chazon Ish. However, other poskim go back to the Ramban in Parshas Bahar. The Ramban in Parshas Bahar has a slightly different formulation of what category of Yerokos was excluded from the Isus Sfichim. And the Ramban's language is Ein derech b'nei adam lizoron ela rak me'aleihem yotzim. The Ramban adds a phrase over here that we're talking about not cases where they were planted, that's not excluded, but cases where they grew on their own. And the Ramban assumes that Baharim or Benaros, in certain places where there's a lot of water, they will grow on their own. So which min of Yerek, according to the Ramban, and those who follow the Ramban, is excluded from the Isus Sfichim? Only that Yerek, which under normal conditions would grow without human planting. Whereas if we go back to the Chazon Ish, we're talking about something entirely different. We're not talking about a min which is not, you know, is generally speaking grows on its own. We're talking about a min which it's not worth it for most people to bother with. It's so inexpensive, and therefore we don't plant it. According to the Ramban, he says most people wouldn't plant these things, not because they're inexpensive, but because they grow on their own. You know, they grow wild. There's such a surplus. It's so accessible to harvest these vegetables because they grow wild. Aval, and this is where the post can say it against the Chazon Ish, Yerokos Zolim, if they're very cheap, and Ein Mitzuyin Me'aleihem, but they don't usually grow wild, so you'd have to plant them, but just mi'ad b'nei adam etaplim b'zriyosam, but so inexpensive, it's not worth the effort, so it's only a few pieces, rubon, is minol, and how do we know that that's not included in the Gzeiros Sfichim?
It's not supposed to be tzias, really, because there's some places maybe they grow so wild, and some places maybe they don't, someone actually has to.
But again, what's your criteria for this category? Is it something that grows wild, or is it something that people just don't feel that they want to plant? You know, it doesn't grow wild. You have to plant it, but most people don't even bother planting it. It's the Chazon Ish saying, even though it never grows wild, but if it's a kind of species where the planting just doesn't justify the money that you're going to make when you market it, you know, for most people, the Chazon Ish claims it's not included in the Isus Sfichim. But those poskim who rely on the Ramban are saying, no, we're talking about something that's not usually planted because it grows wild. If you have something that doesn't grow wild and it requires planting, then it's included in the Isus Sfichim according to the Ramban, even if it's cheap. The Ramban doesn't operate with the with the question, what, oh, is it worth it to plant it, or is it not worth it? But he just wants to know, is it planted, is it not planted, is it growing wild, and therefore it's not planted, on occasion you can plant it. It could be the most expensive thing in the world, and the Ramban would say that nevertheless it's not included in the Issa Svichin. On the other hand, you could have the Chazon Ish from the other perspective and saying that something which grows wild is included under the Issa Svichin if it's worth that amount. I think they're operating, as he presents it here, with two different definitions. What time is it, Rabbi Osai? Oh, I have my watch. All right, so let's see if we can just, for the next 2 minutes, I wanted to point out to you number Chaf Beis. Did we do the Derech Hamun in Chaf Beis? He says...
Yeah,
oh, we did that already. Okay, good, good, good. On. And let's just finish up the Rama again. Right, right, right. Avol Yirakos Shederech Rov Bnei Adam. Excuse me. Shederech Rov Adam Lizoram Beginos. Okay, where's the next page? Should say 234 on it. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Umine Tvua Vekidnios. So those vegetables which are normally planted, and tvua, which means grain, which is certainly planted, kidneys, legumes are planted. Called so mechmeim osur midivrein. Okay, that's svich. What do we do with these massive amounts of yirakos, tvua, and kidneys that grew during shvitz? Says the Rambam, can I cut them down? Hamalaktam. Okay, hold your horses, because we're going to have to see what the Rambam means here. He doesn't mean what you think he means. Hamalaktam. Makinoso makas mardus. In other words, forget about eating them, which certainly is a violation of an Issa d'Rabbanan and engenders a chiyuv makas mardus. The Rambam says a pella of a chiddush, again, if you take it at face value in first reading, that even if you cut these down, you violate an Issa d'Rabbanan. I mean, where do we ever hear this chiddush? We're going to have to really come up with a source for the Rambam. But if you take a look at the Derech Emuna, he's going to try to offer, in the name of Yesh Omrim, a new interpretation of the Rambam. I'm sorry, in the name of the Chazon Ish. The Yeshomer that he starts with reads the Rambam literally. Hamalakton afal pisha eno ochlon. It's a whole new category of an Issa Svichin. We're not talking about achila. We've never seen until this Rambam that there is an Isur Lakita with regard to Svichin.
With no use at all. Why would one may do that?
Well, again, you know, I'm just saying that he... According to the Rambam, he's just interested in being malakit them. He says, you know what, I'm a tzaddik, I'm not going to eat them. Let me just cut them down so they won't bother me. Mm-hmm. And yet he violates an Isur according to the Yesh Omrim. Afal pishein ochlim. Comes along with the Chazon Ish and he says, no. Dafka hamalakton li ochlon. His intention was to violate the Isur achila. And not only that, the Derech Amuna, he's interpreting his uncle, says L'chora Eino Loke Ad Sheyochlam. See, what I get confused about is if he doesn't get Malkus until he eats them, so he's Chayav Malkus for eating them. Is the Derech Amuna Reb Chaim saying that now he gets two sets of Malkus? He cut them down in order to eat them. Then he went ahead and he ate them. Now he gets a double set of malchus? Is that what he's saying? Because otherwise, if again, it's very strange. We know that he gets malchus for eating them. I mean, that's the Iker Yisur of Svichin, is achilo. Now you're telling me that he gets that what? That he gets malchus for malake.
It's just dafkin malake. In other words, only if he's malake.
No, but he says he's malake and then he ate it. Do you see what he said?
There's malake like al tanai lechlo.
Well, that's what the Chazon Ish says. But Ulechora, the way Reb Chaim expands on the Chazon Ish, he says, Eino Loka Achi Yochlan. That's a hell of an interpretation of the Chazon Ish.
If you cut it down, you didn't need it, then you can't give him lashes because you can't
can't prove that he what it was on his mind.
But I'm just saying, if you have to wait, you have to wait until he cuts, he eats it, so he's going to get malchus for eating it. Oh, he's saying now that he gets two sets of malchus? I can't figure this out. I mean, next time in B'nai Brak, I'll, you know, when you come to the graph, you have to write it down, you know. Okay, Rav Moshe, we'll stop here. If you can hold on to this, because we still have more in the Rambam to do. Again, I apologize. Just speaking this, I kept delaying it, you know, because it so derails us, you know, and everything that we've been doing about Shvius. You know, I'm all excited about Kedusha Shvius, and then I learned the Issus Svikim.
Because of the Issus Svikim, does that basically push away working out when there's no longer food for the animals in the fields? It becomes irrelevant, almost.
Oh, you mean beer? The bits of beer?
Yeah.
So we're going to have to see when the mitzvah beer, you know, what's the relation between the mitzvah beer, Chofetz beer, and the Issus Svikim. But logically what you say is correct, that once we have an Issus Svikim, so the whole mitzvah beer doesn't seem to make any logical sense. But do the Rabbanan have the power to undermine that Chofetz beer? You know, that's the
just give away my sheet.
This is yours.
I was stepping on it. Oh, sorry.